listener production.
Like a milkman from the olden days, delivering milk to your place at 5 a.m. every morning. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
I'm not happy, Matt.
Oh, why? Why are you not happy?
Because the new season has come in.
Of what?
Well, we've gone from February to March.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're now in autumn. But there's an even worse season upon us.
Not magpie season.
No, we're not swooping season. I think that's around spring, isn't it?
Mango season? I mean, I saw a few were on special, but well, I feel like we're getting out of the summer months. So what happened?
Love mango season. Detest the change. Because they just try to slip it in as if nothing's going on. Slip in that Shepherd Avo in place of the Huss. And we all go, we know what you're doing here.
I had to buy one the other day.
You
I noticed
got hit
it.
The Shepherd?
Yeah. Because all the Huss were all did rock hard you, and the Shepherds were soft as. And I was like, oh, I've got to get one of these ones.
I don't think I've ever had a soft Shepherd. The Shepherds are always rock hard for me. They're just that they're so green and shiny on the outside. They are like those plasticized meals you get out the front of some restaurants that show you know, what's inside. Fake avocado.
Here's the write-up for the Shepherd. Says, rich and buttery, the Shepherd accounts for 10 to 15% of Australia's avos, right? It has a slightly firmer flesh, but means it's harder to tell when this version of the fruit is ripe, and it's also not as easy to smash on toast.
You need the Incredible Hulk to come in and mash up your cafe's produce.
Well, look, we are still the lovable avos that you love and adore every season round. God, I tell you what, I mashed my way through that intro. All right, let's chuck us on some toast. Let's get eaten. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
If that was a cafe, I'd be sending that analogy back to the chef.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Now, before we get into Tuesday's show, it's always good to give people a bit of a menu about what's going to be going on today, Matt. Like just like at a restaurant, you love having a little peruse of the menu. Do you look at it online before you head to the actual venue?
Yeah, but a good menu, a good restaurant, you know, they'll just give you the sample menu online. They won't say this is definite.
Oh,
tell
really?
You what, I went to Bar Francine in Brisbane on the weekend to celebrate Belinda's birthday, and it was spot on yet again. Great vegetarian menu. Oh, well, some seafood on there as well. Great wine list. Great setting. Oh, mum.
You're loving it. Me. All right. Well, I'll let you know what's on today's show. And it's actually courtesy of big fan of the show, occasional guest on the show, Ian Dyson.
Oh, we talked to him last week.
We did. And he texted me today with something. And I said, Dad, can you put that in a voice message so we can give it to our listeners? And they can know what's coming up on the show today. And so, please, here is today's all-day breakfast menu.
Good morning and welcome. In an absolutely riveting program today, Matt will tell you what happened to an illegally parked frog. It gets towed away. And from the crime department, did you hear that they arrested the devil? They got him on possession. And Alexander, he always comes to the party. He'll tell you why you can't trust an atom. Because they make up literally everything.
So that's just a little taste of what's...
Oh, he's still got it, doesn't he?
He has still got it.
Many
people, you know, forgot about Dre when it comes to Ian Dyson's puns. But I tell you what, they are still sharp.
They don't make them like they used to,
what
do they?
What happened to the frog? He got towed away.
Some of these jokers nowadays, they couldn't keep doing that.
Yeah, some of these up-and-comers, they reckon they've got game, you know. But no, it's always good to get the OG. Just a little amendment to it. None of that will be on the show, but we do have a great one. Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, Matt, yesterday you mentioned you bumped into Sam Cromack, lead singer of Ballpark Music, over the weekend in the car park at 7 a.m. of a supermarket, the only two people there. I had a weird bump into the other day as well. I was at a cafe chatting to a friend, and this girl walks past and goes, "Hey, Alex." And I'm like, "Oh, Emily?"
Emily who?
Umbers. She's like, "How you going?" I'm like, "Good. I wouldn't have seen you for about, 13 years.
I mean, I've known you for a solid 10, so is this like a uni thing?
No, it predates you. Although I've probably only met her once in my life, but been Facebook friends since that time.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Well, tell us about this.
And my friend Luna was like to her, "Oh, how do you guys know each other?" And Emily goes, "Oh, last time I saw Alex was in Tanzania. He just finished climbing Kilimanjaro."
Oh my God, you sound like some sort of adventure man.
Yeah. But yeah, so when I was working on the radio, I was mentioning I was going to Tanzania. Someone, I remember, messages in and says, my sister works at a school in Tanzania. You could go visit. And so me and Ollie the Sarge Wards and six other bros from New Zealand end up going and staying at the School of St. Jude's in Tanzania with Emily and the rest of the Tanzanian, you know, working crew there at the school. Amazing organization set up they had over there. And it was a good old time. And then hadn't seen her for about 13 years. Walk into a cafe. There we go.
Wait a second. You stayed at a school in Tanzania?
Yeah, they had these little dorms for like staff, but it was school holidays. So we got to stay in these bunks in Tanzania. Went on like a visit to one of the students' houses. It was amazing. Met the whole fam. It was great.
Oh, man. What was Tanzanian school like?
Well, this school, it started with this Australian lady set it up. I think the first year it had four students or something. And now it had three campuses and 1,500 students. And, you know, through donations. So if you want to, you know, donate to School of St. Jude's, really nice.
What's the tuck shop like, do you know?
It was great. They had like a big canteen sort of dining hall. And they had chefs there making a bunch of food. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But we're talking about unlikely bump-ins, and I tell you what, I got so many great messages. So thanks so much for keeping an eye on our Instagram stories where we do throw these questions out there, matt.and.alex. The most unlikely place you've bumped into someone you know, Sarah simply says, at a sex club. Now that's a tough place to bump into the old acquaintance, isn't it?
Depending on who's doing what and where.
Okay.
Is it client?
What's the best case scenario there and what's the worst case scenario?
Oh, I tell you what the worst place scenario is. Worker, parent. That is the worst.
So you're working there. You haven't told your family.
Yes.
That's what you're doing. And then the parent walks in.
One of your parents walks in and goes, oh, this is orkies.
Yeah, I'll go next door to the other sex club.
That's an orky orgy. That's what I would say.
Lily said, I ran into my friends from Warrnambool on a train in Copenhagen and then again on a packed train in Sri Lanka filled with the locals.
Well, there you go.
Tell you what, Lily, people from Warrnambool, they get around.
Simone says, I was randomly seated next to my favourite uncle at a Coldplay concert of over 50,000 people.
You manage that?
No, they must have gotten some algorithm there, seen, you know, maybe they've done a DNA test on both of your tickets or something. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's the amount of info Ticketmaster wants from you these days. Would be surprised. You had to send in your genome. Ben says, I bumped into my ex in Luang Prabang in Laos 3 months after we broke up. Mm. Oh, man.
Icy Creek said, on a side street in Mumbai in 2003, a man pointed at me and yells, you can my groceries at Coles in Pakenham, Victoria.
That is insane. That is actually insane.
When you think about how many people.
You spot the guy who packs your cans into a bag at Coles and packing them.
I love that.
I assume Icy Creek was that person rather than just a rando. That's incredible. As is this, Liv saying, I'm from Warrnambool, Victoria, and while traveling in London, all at separate times, I ran into three guys I worked with. What is it with people from Warrnambool?
I'll tell you what it is. It's your old buddy getting out of Warrnambool. Hey, you didn't mind firing a few shots at Adelaide.
Yeah.
Guess what? They were all at home to defend themselves. Where are you, Warrnambooleans? Bloody everywhere else.
That must be it. It does remind me one time I was walking up these steps to a clifftop temple in Meteora in like northern Greece.
Mm.
And as I went past, some bloke goes to me, oh, rat dog. I thought, yeah, you can take the dog out of the country, but you can't take the rat out of the dog.
You're just imagining the people who slaved over this building.
Over centuries
ago. So that great thoughts could be shared. You know, the forefront of humanity.
Yes, yeah, so epiphanies can be reached. And you can ascend to a higher plane of being. Rat dog. That's it. It's brother rat dog to you. Thank you very much. Megan also got in touch as well. What's your unlikely bump into story, Megan?
So a couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to fly from Launceston to Perth direct on the Friday night, and they cancelled me, which was a nightmare. So then they tried to put me Saturday morning, do Launceston, Melbourne, Melbourne, Adelaide, Adelaide, Perth.
Oh, and I rang them up. Triple like, bunny hop after the direct. I hope you gave him a piece of your mind, Megan.
Oh, mate, it was a lot of minds. So rang them back and said, look, just get me on a direct flight to Perth from Melbourne. I can sit in the lounge, happy to sit in the lounge for a few hours. Like, that's all good. All I'm going to do is chill out anyway. So do that.
Okay, what I would have said a while ago is, that's lucky you didn't have to stop in Adelaide, but I'm not going to
because thank you,
I've been pulled into line.
Why are you setting us up to be enemies with Adelaide? I'm pro-Adelaide, yeah?
Yeah.
Bloody love it.
Absolutely. But that's okay. Just it's interesting there, Megan. Go ahead.
Thank you, Megan. Keep going.
So anyway, they just put me on like a 12:50 flight. So I had about 4 or 5 hours in the lounge. And, you know, I'm sure you know, Matt, the lounge in Melbourne is massive. Like, you know, you don't think you're going to really see someone in there. So I've been there for 3 or 4 hours, and about half an hour before the flight's about to get boarding, I'm like, I'm going to stand up and ascend in a different spot. They're charging my phone, just kind of having a bit of a walk around, getting ready to be on the flight for 4 hours. And I turn around and my ex is not 10 meters away from me.
Okay. That's, I mean, you know, you guys got to know each other at one point, and I'm sure it wasn't too awkward.
No, not at all, except for that he completely stood me up for a dinner 2 years ago and I hadn't really seen him since.
Okay, so this is the first sighting in 2 years post-ghost.
Yes, basically, yes. And then I'm freaking out. I'm like, do I just grab my stuff and leave? What do? Oh, my gosh. And then he turns around and he sees me and I'm like, great. So we start chatting. And we're just standing there chatting, and he's like, oh, where are you going? I'm like, oh, I'm going to Perth to visit my friend. And he's like, oh, okay, I'm also going to Perth. So I'm like, great. And then he's like, where are you sitting? I'm in 8. He's like, I'm like, I'm in 8F. And he looks at me, he's like, I'm in 8D.
Oof. Is there anyone in 8E? Please tell me there's someone in 8E.
The only time you pay for someone to sitting in the middle between you.
Honestly, like, thank God it was a full flight because there was someone sitting between us, but he spent the entire time asleep, like leaning forward, asleep on the seat in front.
And so did you talk to your ex at all on the flight?
Not really. We were both headphones on. I actually fell asleep for a while. And then the other one, he says, oh, you still sleep the same way.
Oh, you still sleep the same way.
Yeah.
What
okay.
An odd thing to mention.
Megan, did you address the ghost, the elephant in the room?
Look, it was mentioned a few times in passing, I think. I didn't quite get the apology I was looking for, I think. There were a couple of times where we were talking about mutual friends and we were talking about toxic exes, and I was like, oh, you know, I pick men almost as toxic as that person, and he gave me a couple of looks, but, you know.
He was somewhat broaching the subject.
Somewhat.
All right. Well, look, we're glad you got there safely and, you know, in the end, and that's it.
Were you in the emergency exit row at all?
Oh, I wish. I wish. No, I probably would have pulled that lever, I reckon, if I had been, but.
All right. Well, Megan, look, you made it out, you know, and everything's good now. Have you found a new partner or anything?
No, just focusing on me for a while.
Good.
I think I'm about to move cities, so hopefully it's going to be a bit of a better dating pool than Launceston anyway. So
we wish you all the best, Megan. Thank you very much for chatting to us, and we will talk to you later.
I smell toast.
Ask you a question?
It's called Ask Alex.
Yes, your opportunity to ask the former guidance counsellor at Girlfriend Magazine between 2010 and about 2014 a question about love, relationships, sex, or as I like to call it, the horizontal handshake. I don't know. Well, they got the horizontal folk dance. There's many names for that intimate act.
I'm just enjoying watching you just rump yourself into a little corner here.
That's it. Although that's what you call a masturbation, rumping yourself. But yeah, that's also a good example of what it'd sound like if I was just doing this podcast by myself. Just blathering into oblivion. But look, get them through. Matt.and.alex, always up for a question. Chloe has submitted one. Chloe's dilemma is this. My housemates are on a break and it is molto awkward. You know what molto means, Bron?
No,
I think
I'm just Googling.
It just means very awkward.
Molto is like, much, very.
Is that like Italian?
Italian. Yeah, Italian for a lot.
Mucho would be the Spanish version.
So it is a lot awkward.
How do I make it not so? For context, they've been in a relationship for 5 years and are still living together with me whilst they've been on a break. Yeah, look, that is a bit of a doozy there. It's tough enough to organise things in a share house without two of the participants being recent exes. I would say, Chloe, the best way to talk to housemates, and this goes for everyone, notes on the fridge. Okay? All you need to do, write a note as passively aggressive as you possibly can. Leave it up on the fridge next to the, you know, plumber magnets and electrician magnets and just tell them exactly what you need from them, okay? If there's no talking in the living room, just say, you guys need to say at least three things to each other whilst I'm around so I don't feel uncomfortable.
So you're suggesting that she promotes communication between them?
Yep. To make it less awkward, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder where it's awkward. Do you think they're all sitting around TV watching the same shows and stuff? Or do you think that they're not at all interacting and they're just staying in separate rooms?
Well, it depends, Chloe, because I guess in the cost of living crisis, I'd be surprised if this couple aren't sharing a room.
Oh, that's true. Maybe someone could be on the couch now as well.
Could be on the couch.
Chloe, I'm going to make a suggestion here. This is just a general vibes sort of suggestion, but I'm going to suggest probably don't sleep with either or both of them in this time.
That's a good rule of thumb there, yeah. Chloe.
I mean, you generally don't want to be sleeping with your housemates in general, but just it could make things a little bit more awkward if you decide to go there.
Absolutely. I would also... try and hack into their phones, you know, keep an eye on their passwords, steal their fingerprints, get into their phone, delete their dating apps. Because the one thing that's going to make this much worse is when one of them brings home someone else because they're on a break.
Oh, no.
And then you've got a third wheel in the house with you already being a third wheel. You've got four wheels in the house. One of them would be livid. And so do whatever you can. Lock the doors, get a new padlock on the front door. Whatever you can to keep out someone like this entering, because that will be your buddy, not a cat amongst the pigeons. There'll be a saber-toothed tiger amongst the pigeons there.
Also, do you know what you can do, Chloe? Is when they say, like, you know, hey, what are you up to this weekend? You can just say, I was actually thinking about just looking at some apartments just nearby. Yeah, I just have been seeing that there's some free. Mm-hmm. Do you want to come in with me? Right. Do you want to come and check them out with me? Right,
no, when... No. Do not listen to this man. If one of them finds out that you have been looking at apartments with their ex to potentially carve them out of the situation, that is going to make it 10 times worse.
No, I was suggesting that you're supposed to go, hey, check out this apartment. And then you go, it's not for me, but it could be for you. And then that's how you swing it.
All right, there's a few ideas, Chloe, to get the ball rolling. It sounds pretty rough, so keep us in the loop as to how things go. But, yeah, living with two people on a break.
Also, I would strongly suggest don't smack talk either of them as well. Because that you definitely don't want to be in that situation where one of them's like says all these horrible things about the person and you, not sure what to do, are like, yeah, I guess, you know, yeah, they are, I guess, pretty annoying and stuff. And then the next day, they're back together again.
Yeah, you got to be very careful about
and
that.
And you're
as
like, well.
Well,
now I've said that this person's annoying, but I didn't want to say that.
It's a precarious situation, Chloe. I hope you approach it with delicateness and fervor. Amelia has also got in touch with a question for Alex. Should we still call our son River when my father-in-law laughed at the name? Right now, this is tough. As someone who has never named a child, Mats, I'm going to abdicate to you. What was it like when you were telling people your daughter's potential name?
I mean, all you're really worrying about when you're trying to decide names is will this name be mocked for decades to come?
Okay, right? What does river rhyme with? Liver.
I mean, that's fine. It's sliver. An essential part of your body. Yeah, that's not too bad, is it?
It doesn't rhyme with diver, but I don't know why. It should. It really should. Diver should be called diver, or river should be river. It's a
talk to someone
oversight.
About that, Daiso. But no, look, I reckon, of course, you should still call your son that.
Yeah.
As if it matters what your father-in-law thinks. Let him laugh away.
Absolutely, Amelia.
That's the reaction you want. You want someone to laugh. You want someone to say, ha, oh, that's a funny name. Because they'll remember it.
Exactly right.
Won't they? They won't be forgetting to put that name on the birthday cards every year.
I think I've got a friend who's got a kid named River. I also, River Phoenix. It's a good little name.
River's a great name. Better than Bog. You know, if we're talking about natural water yeah. feature things.
Yeah, your River's you know? The top of the list. I mean, River's Bog, as good as... dreadful. Call your kid Swamp. Okay, steer clear of that. I mean, Estuary, I would find that quite a pretty name, actually. Estuary Dyson.
My friend Mangroves has been, you know, not loving it for a while. So, yes, stream. I mean, river.
Yeah, river's
river
good.
River is good.
And Brook. Brook has been bloody taken those kind of names for a long time. So river yes. should rise up the ranks a little bit, next to Lake as well.
Welcome River into the world. Rivers are powerful.
Mm.
All right? They can whoosh father-in-law over. No worries at all.
Yeah.
Or you could call your son after the best river of all. Just introduce him. Hey, everyone, this is my son, the Brown Snake.
That truly a name cannot be made fun of. All right, yeah. We helped you there, Amelia. Chloe, I hope you've got a bit of help too. If you would like to ask Alex something, mats.and.alex on the gram. Hit us up.
Thank you for joining us on this lovely day. We're going to be back same time, same place tomorrow. And let us know if you've got any stories that can relate to this. We'd love to hear from you.
That's it. We'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at mat.and.alex.